from the heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, UFOs, giants, oh my, make sure you're part of the program. Here's what's happening. That plane carrying a Brazilian soccer team that crashed in Colombia might have simply run out of fuel before slamming into a Colombian mountainside. What a horrible story. Despite reports that the pilot deliberately dumped fuel to avoid an explosion, the flight had practically arrived at its destination in Medellin, Colombia, had radioed the tower for landing clearance, and was placed about third or fourth in line as it circled the airport. Then minutes later, the pilot asked to be able to land immediately because he said they had run out of fuel. Gee, sad story. U.S. companies added a total of 216,000 jobs in November. Now, that's the most since June, and they say evidence that the incoming Trump administration is inheriting a solid economy. The payroll provider, ADP, said that nearly all the gains occurred in service sectors such as retail, hotels, and restaurants, as well as higher-paying professional services. Construction firms added 2,000 jobs, while manufacturing, though, lost 10,000. But good news out of Indiana. The Carrier Company released new details about their deal with President-elect Donald Trump's incoming administration that will keep over 1,000 jobs at their Indianapolis factory. Trump and Vice President-elect Governor Mike Pence will visit the plant tomorrow to outline details of their negotiations. The company announced they will continue to manufacture gas furnaces in Indianapolis, as well as the engineering and headquarters staff, which will keep more than 1,000 jobs in the state. This is an amazing story. When's the last time you remember a president-elect, actually negotiating with a company to keep jobs in this country? It's an amazing feat right there. OPEC has agreed to cut its oil production for the first time in 8 years, ending a strategy of high supply that had really aimed to cripple the U.S. energy industry, but also led to a decade-low prices and drained the budgets of crude-producing nations. Catherine Austin Fitz, our investment advisor with us. Well, do you think this is going to work? Are they going to prop up oil prices now, Catherine?
You know, it's all in the details because they'll announce that they'll do these cuts and then, you know, countries start cheating. So it's not just the OPEC countries that have agreed to production cuts, but outside of OPEC, you have Russia agreeing to limit production by 300 a day. If you look at the total size of the market, it's only a small percentage, George, but I think what it says is Saudi Arabia went to war with the U.S. on market share and just lost. And I think part of it may have been you've got an incoming administration which is going to be fossil fuels friendly. So supportive of more U.S. production, and I think Saudi Arabia just saw the writing on the wall.
I think so. Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Austin Fitz. Well, she won the popular vote by more than 2 million votes, and the polls were on her side. How could she have lost the election by a combined margin of 107,000 votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania? Then over the Thanksgiving week, a Princeton professor raised questions about the validity of the election results, giving Clinton supporters enough fodder to turn feelings into actual skepticism. Now, to be clear, the professor is pretty sure that the fault lies in systematic polling error, but he says it's possible, that the results could have been hacked by Russians or other types of nefarious actors, as he called them. Regardless, of course, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein, who only earned about 1% of the national vote and ran a campaign on just $2.5 million, has started a campaign for a recount. She's already raised more than $6 million since announcing that she would ask for a recount in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, calling into question the integrity of electronic voting machines. Now, here's the story. If those three states do not certify again their results, it's conceivable that when the Electoral College meets on December 19th, neither major candidate, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, will have enough electoral votes. I'm bringing in John Hogue right now. He's the prophecy expert, of course, has predicted the last 13 elections as far as the popular vote is concerned. John, I'm asking you as a psychic and prophet, what do you think's going to happen here?
Well, the key is Pennsylvania. Whatever Jill Stein's movement can try to find in Michigan and Wisconsin, and there's even dispute with that, whether they're going to actually hand count paper votes there. There's a hearing that has to happen on the 5th of December, and it has to be decided in Pennsylvania whether she can actually contest the fact that she should have filed for this vote count before the 21st of November. So with that said, I look at the astrology at the time of this dispute in Pennsylvania, and what I see is a trine of Saturn-Uranus, which in layman's terms means that the ordered function of the machinery of the electoral system will go on. There may be some interesting innovative and surprising things that might be said and stated, but it just gets stronger and stronger, and even if there were some faithless electors in the 19th vote, which is when the trine is at its strongest, or even if they find some things, in general, my take is that this is just going to be an exercise in original thinking, and it's not going to find any grounds for overturning the vote, and Trump is our next president.
Okay, very good. John Hogue, thank you so much. The Cassini spacecraft is beginning to end its final phases of its mission to Saturn. It's been an amazing mission. They have spent, scientists, 12 years with this spacecraft, flying around the ringed planet and its moons at a relatively safe distance, but now it's going to get really heated. The Cassini is going to, as it's ending its days out there because it's running out of fuel, is going to try to go through the rings of Saturn and get really close to the planet. We'll see what happens. It's exciting, though. Well, they say it's time to start making babies from three people. According to scientists advising the United Kingdom's fertility regulator, the move has been described as historic, and the regulator will make its decision next month. The doctors want to make babies from three people to prevent diseases that starve off the body of energy, leading to brain damage, muscle wasting, and heart failure. What a story there. In a moment, Dr. Joel Wallach is back on Coast to Coast from CriticalHealthNews.com. They are, of course, major sponsors of the program. And just to get ready, here's the website, CriticalHealthNews.com, and the toll-free number to reach people for help, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Doc Wallach next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Joel Wallach with us. Doc Wallach is with us once a month as we talk about health issues that affect all of us. He is with CriticalHealthNews.com, a major spokesperson. And, of course, as I've mentioned, they are sponsors of the program. I want everybody to know that. Now, a couple of days ago, I had a story about vitamin D supplements, and they're saying they're not effective. They could be dangerous, that they don't work. I still take them. I take 5,000 IUs a day. I'm going to check in with Doc Wallach now as we talk about your health. We'll take calls, too. Doc, what about this study? I don't believe it.
Well, you're exactly right. George, you're a superpower when it comes to this kind of information. Appreciate you getting out to the public. You can remember back just as late as 5 years ago, the medical system said, look, you can't have more than 500 units of vitamin D per day, otherwise you're going to calcify your whole body. Today they write prescriptions for 40,000 units a day. And vitamin D2, you have to go out in the sun to activate it. You can take tons of vitamin D2. It's not going to be very active unless you get out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D3, of course, if you're taking 5,000 units a day, you're doing great. And I take 10,000 units because I hardly get outside anymore because, you know, not...
Yeah, I know, you're always inside speaking or something.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So I do take... actually, 10,000 units a day, 5 at breakfast, 5 in the morning. Our little capsules have 2,500 units per capsule, and that's in addition to the 90. And so I'm very, very, particular that I get the D3. That's on top of all the vitamin D2 that's already in the program.
Why is it that they come out with studies like that to try to negate certain supplements when for years other practitioners have been saying, this stuff is helpful for you?
Well, anytime they see a market shift, George, and suddenly now the public is aware of something and they're moving in the right direction, they want to try and curb it because it's affecting the pharmaceutical sales. They had an interesting study just a couple of days ago from Harvard Medical School and the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston just came out. This is like 3 days ago. And they said, well, this is a 34-year study on 3,000 people. Okay? And they said, we now have the proof that salt is the worst thing on earth. And they said, on a straight line, over the 34 years, all the 3,000 of these people died of every disease you can think of. Well, whether they took in salt or not, they were all going to die from something, right? But what was interesting, they didn't read into it, was that the reason why all these people were eating so much salt was because they had nutritional deficiencies, and there is a behavior called pica. Grandma used to eat spoonfuls of ashes out of the wood stove. She'd eat clay out of the backyard, and kids will eat Tootsie Rolls out of the kitty litter box. I mean, they will eat bad stuff when they're deficient in nutrients, and people who eat a lot of salt, they crave salt, they're nutritionally deficient, particularly in minerals. And they overlooked that piece.
Right. They're constantly doing it. You know what's interesting? I mean, I've got a doctor in L.A. who is a stickler of taking annual blood tests, and he's very good, doc. I mean, he'll look at the blood tests, and he says, I like this, I like this, I like this. This, I want you to take a little more vitamin this or that. And, you know, he's a medical doctor, like you. You are a veterinarian, but you're a doctor. You went through school. You did it all. But he's like you in that he wants to go as natural as he can first. And I like that about him.
Yeah, it's a very smart approach. And if all medical doctors and naturopathic doctors would do that, everybody in the world would be better off. But they don't. And, of course, there is a problem with looking at blood tests. There's this, a behavior that the body has called homeostasis. Your body will rob nutrients from your storage areas to keep your blood levels normal.
Okay.
For instance, you can have raging osteoporosis. Your bones are falling apart. You crack and creak, pop your knees when you walk up the steps. Your neck crunches when you turn it. You are in bad shape. You're getting bone spurs, kidney stones, and your blood calcium will be perfectly normal because your parathyroid glands are pulling calcium out of your bones to maintain a normal calcium level in your blood. So it can be very, very, misleading to just use blood tests alone. Now, blood tests will show if something is really way out of line. One of the interesting things is when you have high blood calcium, let's say your calcium is supposed to be, since we're talking about calcium, let's say 8.5 to 10.5 milligrams per deciliter, which is mLs of blood. And what if your blood calcium is 25, 2.5 times the top level? Doctors freak out. They say, oh, you can't have any dairy. You must not supplement with any calcium. They should be put in jail for that, George. Because what's happened is you have raging osteoporosis, and your parathyroid glands have gotten excited, overshot, and took too much calcium out of your bones, overreacted. And you need more calcium when you have high blood calcium, not less.
Last night on the show, I had one of our author researcher guests on, Christian Wild, who you need to meet. He's just a great guy. And years ago, I told him about turmeric to help reduce inflammation in the body. And he went out and studied it, Doc, researched it, and he's got his own remedy now. He's put together a formula of turmeric, but I mean, there was a study yesterday that came out of Britain that said that in time you're going to be able to get a blood test which will determine how long you will live. But the important thing is they talked about your inflammatory markers and that the more inflammation in your body, the shorter your lifespan. And we've been talking about that for 10 years now, and I'm not a doctor, but we knew this.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of things that are in the literature, and the mainstream medical system doesn't see it until suddenly now there's all these supplements being sold, and it's interfering with something they're doing, and then they'll put the kibosh on it. And so, turmeric is just a great antioxidant. Of course, we've known that. It's a cooking spice from India and Malaysia and places like that. And
it's got the curcumin in there. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And inflammation is caused by many things. It can be caused by smoking. You get that smoke rolling through your arteries, causes inflammation. Your arteries can actually contribute to plaque in your arteries. And then you have inflammation from eating fried foods. This is a legendary one, where you get the trans fats, heterocyclic amines, acrylamides, which are very, very inflammatory substances. When they roll through your arteries, you're going to get plaque.
And it stays, doesn't it? The plaque stays in most cases, unless you're taking the right supplements.
Just the opposite of what you would think. You know, for a long time, George, the medical system has wanted you to believe that plaque is due to cholesterol consumption. It's not. It's from this inflammation. Now, this whole cholesterol thing was a sales campaign to sell a product. They demonized cholesterol so grandma would stop using lard, butter, and cream, and eggs to cook.
And they wanted to sell these statin drugs.
Well, that came thirdly. What they wanted to sell was Crisco. Crisco started out as a diesel lubricant for German submarines.
And yeah, they would splatter that stuff and grease it all over the place. Oh.
And after a while, they couldn't, you know, the war was over. So they tried to make soap out of it, and they couldn't sell it. And so, actually, they sold it to Procter & Gamble from Germany. They sold it to Procter & Gamble, and they tried to sell it as soap, and they couldn't. So they decided to sell it as a cooking shortening called Crisco, and they couldn't sell it. And so there's a guy by the name of Ansel Keys. He actually made the K-rations for the military, and he had a very good reputation for nutrition. And he brokered a deal between Procter & Gamble and the American Heart Association in 1952, where Procter & Gamble gave the American Heart Association $1.7 million, which is chump change today for big institutions.
Right.
But back then, it was a lot of money.
A lot of money then.
In 52. And the whole deal was that the American Heart Association was going to endorse Crisco as a healthier way to cook than butter, cream, lard, and eggs. Well, they were having a struggle because grandma wanted to use everything her previous 10 grandmas had used. I'm going to cook the same way they did because everybody loved it. Well, they just couldn't sell this Crisco. So this Ansel Keys from the medical school at the University of Minnesota goes to a big advertising firm, and they say, look, you got to demonize what grandma's using, and then make heaven out of where you wanted to go. This Crisco, you know, use church music and butterflies, and people will go buy it. And so he did an analysis of lard, butter, cream, and eggs, and found out the things that were the same was cholesterol and saturated fat. So he began to demonize cholesterol and saturated fat in buttercream, lard, and eggs. And grandma did a little better. She bought a little bit of Crisco. They're still having a problem. So he goes back to the advertising firm, and he said, oh, no, you really got to work on this heaven piece. And Ansel Keys came up with a Mediterranean diet to move people over to olive oil, to Crisco, and gave up lard, buttercream, and eggs. And that's when the cardiovascular disease really spiked. It got 1,000 times worse than it ever was before people moved to Crisco. Crisco has actually killed an enormous amount of people. It's one of those terrible, terrible, terrible things because one company wanted to sell something. They came up with a false premise to move a whole population one direction, and the entire industrialized world moved over to Crisco and actually caused more problems.
What's it made with?
It's actually made from cottonseed. It's actually made from cottonseed and
the plant.
Yeah, yeah. I make socks and shirts and things with. And then came along the cholesterol reduced diet. They wanted to reduce cholesterol out of the diet, and people got low TED, menopause at age 35 instead of 60. And adrenal exhaustion, because those four hormone categories, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and adrenal hormones, are all we call steroid hormones. They are, they're all made from cholesterol. They're 95% by weight cholesterol. And when you go on these cholesterol-restricted diets, people began to have these hormonal deficiencies. And, of course, the pharmaceutical industry loved it because they came out with testosterone patches. They came up with Viagra and Cialis. they came out with Premarin, which is made from horse urine.
Billion-dollar industries, Doc. Doc, hold on. We're going to take this break, and we're going to come back. Again, the website, I invite you all to go to it, is criticalhealthnews.com. Criticalhealthnews.com. The toll-free number to call to get assistance, not to get on the show here, is 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Now, we've only got Doc Wallach for an hour and a half to go, so we're going to open up the phone lines now because they're already ringing. Okay, welcome back. Doc Wallach with us, criticalhealthnews.com. We'll get to your calls as well, and we're going to do this all hour long next hour as well. Later on in the program, Lynn Marzulli joins me to talk about his new research in UFOs, too. So we've got everything covered for you tonight. Doc, I've got an email in from Vicki. She's one of our Coast Insiders. She's a school teacher. She says, I download and podcast. I can't stay up late. I'm too grumpy with my students the next day. But she needs some help. So this is what her situation is. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer. She has been taking and has been recommended to take Z-Radical from Youngevity, which has turmeric in it, but she says she also has gallstones. She has heard that you can't take turmeric if you have gallstones. What does she do?
Well, I don't think that's quite true.
Okay.
Turmeric is a universal anti-inflammatory, and when you have gallstones, your gallbladder is kind of an innocent victim. The gallstones actually come out of the liver. your liver requires all 90 essential nutrients to function properly and do, I don't know, like 50,000 things a day. The liver is just a very, very busy organ. And I would go ahead with the turmeric, but I would also make sure they get their this nice lady gets her her ORAC points. It's ORAC. It's an acronym for oxygen radical absorption capacity, and measurement of how many free radicals are neutralized by the antioxidants in the food or the supplement. I take 500,000 a day.
500,000.
Yeah, of the total antioxidants, and it comes from turmeric and many other antioxidants. Now you have the Cell Shield RTQ, which has the quercetin, the turmeric, and also the resveratrol from red wine. I don't have the fun, because there's no alcohol in it, but you get a lot of resveratrol. Two capsules give you the amount of resveratrol in 264 glasses of red wine. So I take six of those a day, and that is close to 1,000 glasses of red wine a day, of resveratrol without the alcohol.
Doc, of course, throughout the country, people cannot say that this cures this, but it's helped a lot of people, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, what these antioxidants do, including turmeric, quercetin, resveratrol, they support your immune system. When you have any form of cancer, your best friend, your very best friend, is your own immune system. Cancer is not a genetic thing. It's really self-inflicted. For instance, if you eat things like processed meats for breakfast, things like deli slices, sandwich meat, sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, pepperoni, those things for breakfast or lunch or dinner, whether it's in pizza or an omelet or just grilled in a frying pan, you actually increase your risk of cancer, many different types of cancer, as much as smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. And if you smoke cigarettes and eat these processed meats, you're going to get cancer. And so you want to take in these antioxidants and avoid those types of things. You cannot out-supplement a bad diet. And so you really have to consciously avoid the bad stuff, consciously, obsessively take the good stuff, and you're going to lower your risk of cancer. In fact, when the first study came out for a prevention of cancer, it was in 1912. It was published in Popular Mechanics magazine because no medical journal would publish it. And it was on the trace mineral selenium, and they showed you could reduce the risk of colon cancer by 95%. You reduce the risk of prostate cancer by 69%, breast cancer by 32 to 82%, depending on who was looking at the data. And that was just with 200 micrograms of selenium, one-fifth of a milligram per day per 100 pounds of body weight. And then almost 100 years later, 1996, the University of Arizona did the same exact study, got the exact same results, and not one doctor sent out an email or a postcard to their patients saying, look, you need to supplement with selenium, it'll reduce your risk of cancer.
Not one. Let's go to the calls for you, Doc. Let's pick it up by going to JT in Nashville to get things started. JT, go for it.
Hi, George. Dr. Wall, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Sure.
I've got some health issues, but I'm actually more interested in my friend who called me last night and told me that he's on a list to get a lung transplant. He was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis several years ago. And about a year and a half ago, he went through some stem cell therapy, some kind of thing where you breathe in your own stem cells or something like that. I'm not sure what it was. But
they probably injected, I think, into him.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but he didn't get the results that he was looking for. And so now he's on the list to get a lung transplant, and I'm just wondering if there's something else that can be done.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's plenty can be done here. And I just really scratch my head why people won't get second, third, and fourth opinions before they do something as drastic as getting an organ transplant or getting an amputation or some other kind of major surgery. They'll get five bids on putting a roof on their house, but when it comes to a lung transplant, well, whatever the doctor says, because there's nothing else to do. That's not true. But actually, your lungs make hormones to dilate the bronchi, the airways in your lungs. And usually these people with pulmonary fibrosis, they're eating a lot of free radicals, fried foods, processed meats, oils, glutens, wheat, brown arounds, those kind of things. And again, the inflammation stimulates the production of scar tissue, which we call fibrosis, pulmonary fibrosis. This causes constriction of the blood vessels and the walls of the little air sacs in the lungs. And the bronchi, instead of being as big around as, say, a quarter that carry the air down into the lungs, might be as big around as just the pencil lead. Okay, very tiny, just a couple of millimeters in diameter. They get a lot of wheezing, almost asthma-like stuff for COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease with all this fibrosis. So before I start thinking about a lung transplant, what I would do is make sure that they're getting enough of the raw materials for the lungs to make the hormones to dilate those bronchi, get them back up to the diameter of a quarter, and also get the blood flowing through the walls of these little air sacs so the oxygen transfer can take place. And to pull that off, I like to use a system which we call the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack, which is our biggest hammer. I like to call it the big hammer because it has all the raw materials, particularly the raw materials for your lungs to make the hormones. And interestingly enough, they're called prostaglandins. They're a class of hormones which were first discovered in the prostate gland, but they also are made by the lungs to dilate the bronchi. And when you have COPD, you have pulmonary fibrosis, you have these sorts of problems, asthma, you need more of the raw materials to make these prostaglandins. So this is where you want the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack, and I like to throw in what we call the Ultimate Daily Classic tablets, three of those twice a day per 100 pounds of body weight, increases blood flow through obstructed arteries, and just really can do some magic here.
If he's at a point, Doc, where he needs a new lung, I mean, how much time does he have here to make these decisions?
Well, I mean, he's been going on here for months, apparently. I actually have probably at least three or four people who have called me in the middle of the night, George, and they'll say, look, my doctor says I have less than a month to live. I have to have a lung transplant immediately. And they tell me, they say, yeah, they took an X-ray of my chest, and my lungs look like liver. They're dense like liver instead of, you know, it should be all the air sacs, and you can't see any air sacs, just dense like liver. And I say, okay, look, what I want you to do is take these raw materials to dilate the bronchi, take the Ultimate Daily Classic, get the blood flowing into the little blood vessels in the air sac walls. And the raw materials are the omega-3 essential fatty acids, which is in, again, this heavy hammer, I call it, the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. We have the EFA pluses and the EFAs in both in this Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. And I said, I want you to take 18. I take 18 a day. I want you to take 18 right now. I'll hold the phone while you take 18, because they're one of our associates. And then I said, in an hour, I want you to call me back and take another 18. In an hour, take another 18. In the morning, he went back to the doctor. He's perfectly normal.
That's amazing.
Because the lungs made the hormones again.
That is a great story. Okay, back to Linda now in Brentwood, California. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi. Let me take you off speaker.
Okay.
I love you both. You're both my heroes.
Well, thank you.
Very sweet.
Sure is.
So I was diagnosed with vasculitis because I have these rashes on the backs of both my legs at the ankle. And I've been seeing a chiropractor, and I don't know what to do for it. So I just wanted to ask.
Sure. Well, let me ask you a question, if I may. When you were a kid or, you know, young adult, did you have any asthma or bronchitis?
Bronchitis, yes.
Well, there's a bingo. Yeah, you have a horrible gluten intolerance is your basic problem.
Oh.
Okay, and what you have on the back of your legs is called eczema or dermatitis, psoriasis maybe, and this is also caused by a deficiency of a single nutrient, because when you have a gluten intolerance, if you look at your intestines under a microscope, your intestines will look like you've been eating poison ivy for a salad. It is ugly. There's so much inflammation there. You cannot absorb these nutrients. And you take all 90 again, use the big hammer, the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. It has three of the EFA pluses and three of the EFAs, which is the raw materials to provide those nutrients that's missing when you have these skin problems secondary to gluten intolerance. Rosacea on the face, eczema, dermatitis, plaque psoriasis. And you see this on TV all the time now, ulcerative colitis, things like Crohn's disease. They have all these drugs for it to relieve the symptoms of these bowel problems, but it's really a gluten intolerance. So stay away from wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Take the big hammer, the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack, and guess what? Your ankle stuff will go away, and you'll be much healthier for it.
That's
okay.
Wonderful.
Go for it, Linda. I hope that helps you.
Am I wasting my money by seeing a chiropractor?
Well, a chiropractor can oftentimes give you relief. And how long have you been going to the chiropractor, and have you seen relief on this rash in your legs?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, the question is, a chiropractor can give you good relief for pain and inflammation of joints and your vertebrae and your back and
right.
So forth. But how much nutrition is in a chiropractic adjustment?
Not much, I would say.
So do both.
All right, that's a good idea.
And take the supplement.
Thanks, Doc. Email in from William, and he says, I'm in my 60s. I've got a testosterone level of 125. So what does that mean, first of all, Doc?
Well, he needs to be eating 25 eggs a day.
25 eggs a day?
It was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1991. There was an 88-year-old guy who was having the sex life of an 18-year-old, and this group of doctors asked him, what on earth are you doing? Why is your blood test all normal? You're so happy. You look like you're 50 years old. You're 88 years old. He says, I've been eating 25 eggs a day for 17 years.
I'm 25 eggs a day? That's a couple cartons.
Yeah. And so...
Well, you eat a lot, too, don't you?
I eat 10 to 12 eggs a day. I like them soft poached. I can go into any restaurant where they say eggs cooked your way, any way you want, and I'll get... 4 to 6 poached eggs for breakfast, depending on what kind of...
Well, outside of the eggs, what else do you recommend here for him?
Well, actually, he needs a big hammer again. You know, the testicles require stuff to work and to make hormones. And remember, testosterone is 95% by weight cholesterol. So I would say a minimum of 6 to 8 eggs per 100 pounds of body weight. They have to be soft poached. With a soft yolk, soft boil with a soft yolk, soft sauce scrambled in butter, no oils, no margarines. And I did have one more thing to talk about on this cholesterol thing, so I'm glad this is brought up again. The pharmaceutical companies, you know, after they're making testosterone patches and Cialis and...
And gels and all that stuff. I've got a buddy of mine, he goes in and gets injections all the time.
Yeah, and they're making billions of dollars a year, and they say, you know, we are so stupid. We're telling people to eat egg beaters, reduce their cholesterol intake... Don't eat eggs. We're not making any money here. So they came up with the statin drugs, and guess what happened in 6 months?
Testosterone levels went down.
Well, not only did they continue to go down, but we got Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is a cholesterol deficiency, George, and it was caused by the statin drugs. We didn't have Alzheimer's disease until the statin drugs came out.
Interesting. Interesting take. Let's go to Jeff in Hutchinson, Kansas. Hey, Jeff, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
It's George.
Hi.
Later today, we're in Central Time here, I'm having a blockage taken out of my colon, by cutting it open, and I wanted to see if there was a way to avoid that in the future.
Well, first of all, the best to you. Hope everything works out for you, but go ahead, Doc.
Thank you.
Sure. Now, is this a mass when you say a blockage, or are the walls of the colon thick?
Both the mass has developed around my splenic flexure, and it's cutting off most of things getting out, and I had a stent put in last week, and that hasn't worked enough, and my surgeon said, well, we ought to take it out so you can enjoy life better, because I'm not, and it won't be a complicated situation.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any skin problems, any eczema, dermatitis, or psoriasis?
I inherited psoriasis from my father, and I've had it since it came out when I was a teenager, and it's...
Well, guess what?
Still got it.
You have a gluten intolerance. That's what's wrong with your colon. And that splenic flexure is where your transverse colon goes from the right to the left side, makes a 90-degree turn to the descending colon, out the rectum and anus. But it's that little 90-degree turn, which is all thick and looks like you've been eating poison ivy for salad. My recommendation is go on a drop-dead gluten-free diet. You'll know in just 30 days. I mean, just drop-dead gluten-free. Absolutely no wheat, barley, rye, and oats. There are no such things as gluten-free oats. And that means even the dog food and the cat food in the house have to be gluten-free because the dust will cross-contaminate you.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And you're not cancerous, Jeff, right? So you've got some time here to work on this, I assume.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Good.
And then you want to use the big hammer again because the nutrients that are missing when you get the psoriasis cannot be absorbed through these injured intestines. And so you need, again, the big hammer. How much do you weigh, Jeff?
I weigh 272 pounds.
Okay, well, ideally. And how tall are you?
You better be 10 feet tall, Jeff.
I'm 6'1".
Okay, yeah, you need to lose 75 pounds. And so in addition to two of the Healthy Brain and Heart Packs per month, which is the big hammer here again, is going to give you plenty of those raw materials so the plaque psoriasis in your skin will go away because it's just a simple nutritional deficiency of those nutrients. Getting rid of the inflammation from the gluten, wheat, barley, rye, and oats, this obstruction in the flexure, okay, on your splenic flexure on the left-hand side will go down, and you have good bowel movements. We actually have a herbal blend called Herbal Rainforest. You could take a tablespoon of that, which is a half ounce that comes in quart bottles, and that will give you a nice, comfortable bowel movement. But you got to get rid of the gluten. Your spouse, mother-in-law, everybody living in the house, the kids, renters, because you get cross-contaminated on the food preparation surfaces, the laundry, where your clothes are washed, the couch where you watch TV.
Gosh, it's everywhere.
It is, that dust is everywhere, George.
And really quickly, Doc, before the break, what is gluten?
Gluten is a protein you find in wheat, barley, rye, and oats. And people like to say, oh, it's because of the GMOs and everything. No. When we went from millet in the Bible days, thousands of years ago, to wheat, because the seed head in millet is only...
Hold on for a second, Doc. We'll get more into this when we come back. Final hour to go with Doc Wallach, CriticalHealthNews.com, or 1-855-949-RADIO.